Hello and welcome to African Jeopardy. My name is Ife and I'm recording from Pitt and Wim in Scotland. Today I'm going to be speaking to Khalid Ben Mansour, the youth ambassador for peace representing the Northern African region of the African Union. Khalid is a youth ambassador for peace representing the Northern African region at the African Union. She holds a degree in conflict resolution and civic engagement from California State University and advocates for women's empowerment in peace and security. Khalid is also a UN Women, Young Women Peace Builders program graduate, where she received training in conflict theories, analysis, and gender sensitive conflict analysis. Additionally, she is recognized as a top candidate for the UNDPPA calls for women in negotiation and ceasefires and contributes to Tunisia's National Action Plan for Women, Peace and Security, UN Resolution 1325. She is actively involved in climate initiatives such as the Tunisian Young Climate Negotiators Group, and participates in the OSCE Scholarship on Peace and Security. Khalid aims to amplify young women's voices in policymaking and highlight their positive contributions to mediation and peace building. She has been acknowledged for her work as an African Union Youth Ambassador for Peace, and she's a MAPAD Top 100 Under 40 in governance and political affairs candidate, and also recognized as a 2018 MELEAD candidate. And today we're going to be talking about women and youths in diplomacy, realities from the African continent. And having read Kalu's bio, you would agree with me that she's actually the right person for us to speak on this topic with us. Thank you so much, Khalid, for being with us. Welcome to African Jeopardy.
Thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm very happy to join you on this session today.
Thank you. I know that you have such a busy schedule, and so I'm going to go straight to the point by asking you, what do you think the role of women and youth is in diplomacy in the context of the African continent?
I think this is one of the very good questions that we have to ask today, because when we speak about decision-making rooms in the modern era in which we are living, it's very important to acknowledge the necessity to have both constituencies represented, women and youth. Today, the role of both groups is very important, especially in the context of peace and security, mediation, conflict resolution, and that comes from the strong power that women represent in the negotiations and in the decision-making tables. Young people as well, in the dynamic spirit that they have and into the voices and the engagements that they have today and understanding the different pathways and the different challenges that our continent face. So I think both groups, they truly represent a primordial, I think, role in shaping the narratives and in changing the concepts. I think women, they bring immense benefits to diplomacy, their leadership styles, the expertise that they present, the priorities broaden the scope of issues that are under consideration, and the quality of their outcomes as well. A growing body of research tell us that the lack of parity in women's representation in foreign policy is in fact detrimental to peace, because the more we neglect women as a group, the more challenges I think would be confronted in terms of representation and in terms of diversity and inclusion. I think the role of women and youth is multifaceted also, because it encompasses various aspects of international relations. The involvement that they have is very vital to promote inclusivity, to promote diversity, to promote a comprehensive approach to addressing global challenges. Their leadership also, which comes from the backgrounds that they have, the different stories or the different struggles that some women had to face to reach a leadership position, is very inspiring at some point. And that itself can be a motive to change the narratives and to bring in new perspectives and fresh solutions to the issues that we face today. If we speak also from a gender equality dimension, we have to say that women diplomats, they often advocate for gender equality, both within the diplomatic institutions or within the policies that they promote, because we believe that it's about time that we see women in high leadership roles. If you go today to the biggest conferences that happen annually, such as COP, you would see that the female representation is very small. Is very decreased. So in such spaces, I think the female leadership capacity is needed, despite the fact that they are present and they are actively engaged in the backstage. However, in the front seats, we still have a lot of gaps to fill. Also, I think women, they play a significant role in conflict prevention because the dialogue skills that they have, this consensus building, the way that they can address root causes, they can really contribute to more sustainable peace processes. And I think we know that women today, they have this openness to the diplomatic sphere, and they are more engaged and they're more active into the diplomacy. And I think we have so many successful examples in the continent, and it paves the way for young women to also follow the same route. So if you see more women represented in such spheres, I think it makes more young the young people more invested, and knowing that there is a room and there is a chair for everyone. There is a chair for diversity, for this acceptance and this tolerance, for different perspectives and mindset to be accommodated. And for the young people, I think it's important because the activism that we have seen recently in the continent, it's very, very inspiring. Young people, they want to shape their own future. They want to create the policies for themselves according to the needs, according to the struggles that they face. And they understand more the context in which we are living. They understand what Africa strengths are and what are the flaws that still exist, what the gaps that we still need to fill. I think it's very important to acknowledge their important role because we have seen today youth access in big rooms. They have been creating policy recommendations. They have been engaging in most of the high-level meetings. And this itself is a true acknowledgement of where collective effort of the youth can lead. So in conclusion, I would say that both their role is really remarkable. It's crucial also to address the complexities of the modern world, and their contributions enrich the diplomatic processes because they bring in diversity, they bring in innovation, and they focus a lot on the long-term goal, which is sustainable solutions for our global challenges.
Thank you so much for that compelling response. And in the way that you responded to the questions or the question, you highlighted some of the challenges and the different ways that women and youth are contributing diplomatically to peace and security globally and on the African continent. And given your role as someone that works as a youth representative for peace and security under the AU, I wondered if you can tell us a bit more about some of the successes associated with your work in relation to how women and youth voices are being incorporated into AU peace and security policies.
The good example that I can give you from the African Union is clearly our endorsement as youth ambassadors for peace. This is the very first live example that can come as a success or a successful example to present. The African Union has so many diverse youth programs that are open for young people, and it includes different, of course, topics. We have the digital topics, we have peace and security, we have youth as a general interest to focus on youth affairs, entrepreneurship, climate change, and so on and so forth. I think the engagement has been very enriching so far within the African Union Commission because it allowed us not only to witness firsthand the experience within the diplomatic affairs or the peace and security and political affairs department, but also to gain expertise on how we can engage other young people or other young women within the affairs in which we are working on. We had several engagements at high-level meetings, but also we focus, because this is also part of our mandate as Youth Ambassadors for Peace, to engage young people from our regions. So, for example, I come from North Africa. My priority would be also to reach out to the youth councils, to the youth groups, to the activists and the peace builders who are very engaged in the peace and security sphere, to incorporate them into the work that we do, either in the trainings that we get, or the ideas that they can help us shaping, or the projects that they are currently building. And to see the amount of work done on the ground was really huge, because sometimes you have to set the light on those people to understand what's really going on in the field or on the ground. These people are very, very excellent. They have a lot of technical expertise. They bring in so much to the table. And whenever we invite some of them to represent the countries or the region broadly, they truly make us feel honored because of the skills that they have. And I think it doesn't come easily, or it's not easily granted, because a lot of people have to work really hard to access such rooms. And I think we have been fortunate enough to have the support of the Youth for Peace Africa program to be able to invite some of these representatives with us, and also to share experiences with them. I remember one time we were in Abuja in Nigeria, because it's the first African country to launch its National Action Plan on Youth, Peace and Security. And several representatives from the African continent were present, including the RECs and the RMs. And it allowed us to exchange about the policies, about the way our countries should shape their national action plans. And it was really, really inspiring because you get to meet a lot of fresh young minds and exchange with them and learn from them and hear their stories and see what they are doing on the ground. And the more we have these frequencies, the more we invite them to our groups, to our networks, and it allows us to get closer to the profiles and to understand what is still needed in the African continent in terms of youth engagement and what should be prioritized today. As a young woman also working into diplomacy, I think these meetings that we attended or these rooms really allowed us to understand from a senior perspective or a high-level perspective the dynamics of our continent, and to know better how to address them when we speak to policymakers or to the member states. We had several engagements with the member states, including the one in Burundi and Bujumbura, where we helped crafting the Bujumbura Declaration during the 2022 Continental Dialogue on Youth, Peace and Security. Now, as youth ambassadors, our sole, I would say, focus would be to promote for the normative framework, such as the Continental Framework on Youth, Peace and Security and the 10 years implementation plan, and to make sure that the five priority areas are very well addressed. And when we were there in Bujumbura, we had the chance to talk to Burundian youth, and that really inspired us because we saw real examples of how young people can make something out of nothing, and how young people are really doing a lot of great projects, some projects that are even inspiring in the sense that even if you present it to a young person who has everything, they wouldn't have the same idea as a person who comes from the same country. So I think they really value the resources, they really value the learning opportunities. And it was such an enriching experience because when we were trying to address these priority areas, we knew that youth participation is very, very important. And it's also one key preventive tool to protect young people as well. So I think we got a taste of how youth engagement can be truly beneficial, and it introduces them to other stakeholders and allows them the opportunity to get access to spaces where the access can be very difficult. So I think these can be examples of a successful participation from the African Union lens. As I mentioned previously, the African Union is truly championing youth, peace, and security agenda in Africa, and the examples are really infinite. And we have been very, very grateful for the past 3 years to see the richness that our continent present in terms of young people. And I believe that they are truly the source or the engine for our prosperity in the future, and the key to advance our continent.
And thank you so much for the responses. I mean, it's quite detailed, and I like how you started that the fact that there's actually an office for youth peace and securities is one of the biggest example of a success stories. And then you went on to talk about other things, so that is quite well appreciated. And I know that our audience or our listeners will also appreciate the way you have framed it. Like most things in life, given that there are, when you have successes, there are also challenges. I wonder if you can highlight some of the challenges. And speaking about the challenges, perhaps tell us what you think would be the best way to address those challenges in relation to how women and youth are being sort of either heard or incorporated into this diplomatic space of peace and security, especially on the African continent.
Definitely. I think despite the major successes and despite the advancement that we have seen recently, there must be some challenges or some gaps that still exist. And I think women and youth, they face different challenges in the field of diplomacy, both in their efforts and to enter actually diplomatic roles and into the day-to-day work. Especially within the international structures. I think these challenges, they often reflect the broader societal issues related to gender inequality, the age bias, the systematic barriers. But one of the major challenges I think we still face today is the underrepresentation. Especially for women, as I mentioned before, the underrepresentation, it comes mostly in high-level diplomatic positions or political positions, and this lack of representation can limit their influence and the ability to shape decisions. And also there are some gender stereotypes because they still persist in diplomatic circles. The traditional roles and the expectations, they are often very seen, and they limit or discriminate in a way or another the professional advancement of young women or women in general. I think This goes both ways for not only women but also for young people, because the representation of young people is also not the best. Sometimes we still need a young person in the room, and by a young person in the room, I mean not only giving them a seat but a full seat where they can express their needs clearly and freely, and they can contribute actively to what the meeting objectives are. And the issue of underrepresentation, it comes also with so much, I would say, logistical challenges, sometimes in the visa procedures, which are sometimes very, very challenging, into accessing the networks, getting the right invitation to access such rooms. So that itself creates a barrier to the representation of a young woman or a young person in these spaces. I think the effect of the glass ceiling still exists. It can actually hinder women from reaching the highest echelons of diplomatic services, because they limit their access to key decision-making roles and their ability, on the long term to affect meaningful change. I think when we speak also about the access itself, we can also speak about the access to the training or the capacity development opportunities, because we know that when a young person is invited to such rooms, it's also an opportunity for them to gain expertise and to get capacitated. So unless you don't have that opportunity presented to you, it will always make your expertise seen less or more, not enough, I would say. So you'd always be asked to do more or to learn more. However, if you get these learning opportunities or this capacity building opportunities prior to building your network or to accessing big rooms, I think that helps really to represent fully the constituency you are representing. So basically, I think they all fall under the same category, which is the representation or the accessibility challenge, because for both young people and women, the issue has never been the expertise itself, but it was just the access. And that itself is a major issue that still exists. And we know that despite the qualifications and the great leadership profiles that we see and we have today in Africa, it's still a lot of way to go through when we know we have enough seats for young people and women. So I think if we can just summarize it in three challenges, I would say the access, the representation, and the capacity building opportunities, which are all interconnected in a way or another.
Thank you so much. And I think that's a really good way to wrap it up. Access, capacity building, and what else? Representation. Is that the third point?
Representation, yeah, the accessibility and the access to opportunities or to the networks, the representation, and the capacity building as well.
Okay, thank you so much. And I guess then solving this problem requires that elite and the youth themselves also play an active part in sort of turning the tide. Before we conclude, I wonder if there's anything else you'd like to add, especially perhaps in relation to whether you have advice to the young women and young people in general listening to you, people that aspire to one day play an active part in building their respective countries and moving the continents, especially in relation to peace and security.
I think my advice would be to always use the learning opportunities presented to you. I think every learning opportunity is also an opportunity to unfold new horizons. They can be of collaboration, new horizons of growth, career development. And the list goes on. So When I first started being engaged in civil society or accessing organizations, I really cherished every learning opportunity because I knew that I was privileged enough to have access to some networks. And of course, I invested at a later stage this knowledge to keep on progressively advancing. So my advice would be to use the network wisely and to use every learning opportunity that comes along the way. I think these opportunities, they truly help the person to shape their portfolio and to also understand what kind of career they would like to choose for themselves. So for every young woman listening who is, or every young person who is listening and who is really ambitious at this stage and wants to pursue a professional career, I would advise that they would really invest in learning, in building expertise, in engaging with stakeholders, and into using the right spaces to gain as much expertise as they can. The advantage of being young, I would say, is the openness to try always new things and to go on different challenges, and that doesn't come every day. So I would say to every young person who is really inspired by the work that we do, please keep going. You are in the right track, on the right track. Use your knowledge wisely and invest in whatever capacity you have, because eventually your efforts will pay off.
On that note, I want to say thank you so very much because the advice you've given to young people, I think somehow perhaps it applies to me, even though in applications they say youth sort of relates to people from 18 to 35. I'm currently over 35, but I think, I mean, I can learn lessons from the things that you've also said, and they're absolutely valid in terms of, how opportunities can come if you invest in yourself, how, people might tend to want to listen more to you if you have that knowledge. And the knowledge comes from investing in yourself, seeking more knowledge, and then doing something tangible with it. I want to thank you again, Ambassador, if I can call you that, because you are definitely African Youth Ambassador for Peace for Northern African region. I want to thank
Thank
you
you.
for sparing your time because I know you're very busy, and I appreciate you for speaking to us on the role of women and youths in diplomacy in relation to peace and security on the African continent. Thank you so much for coming
Thank you.
back
It's been
and
a
joining us.
pleasure. Thank you.
All right.